about.
Don't let me see you get loose.
Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We've got a lot to get to in today's show. We're going to hear from the Browns offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, at 1:30 and 2:30. We're going to play his press conference following the conclusion of minicamp. We also have the Godfather, Gil Brandt, will be calling in. NFL.com senior analyst. He'll be talking about the Browns rookies, the offseason, the latest around the National Football League. Matt and I are going to give you our five big takeaways on offense after the offseason. And, of course, we'll play a little after further review offensive edition. But before we get into that, we've got some housekeeping to take care of. Number one, the Browns have sold out 60,000 tickets.
So if you took the over,
so I had it.
You were good.
I was good. Yes. I would. We didn't even get a chance to play that game. I would have gotten a Taco Bell meal out of it. Maybe we'll have to see it. We'll see if it holds up in court. But, yes, 60,000 tickets, they capped it. It was apparently, in talking to people here, done within a couple of hours, 60,000 snatched up. And they capped it at that. So they didn't want to – they thought for a Friday night, logistically speaking,
sure,
to have 100,000 people might take away from the overall experience. So 60,000 people,
that's
what
they've capped it at. And I'm just thinking, again, knowing what the horseshoe looks like a horseshoe, in my head – I would probably have to guess that they're going to basically use the south stands, the scoreboard side, you know, the student section, and the entire lower bowl. What most likely I would think maybe make up the 60,000, which means like almost like going to a concert and the upper, you know, 200 level or 400 level, depending on, you know, where you're at, would be just kind of, you know, blanketed over, but it's just going to be left empty. Would be about 60,000 is impressive. That's double last year's.
In a couple of hours. And if they wanted to go for the full 100, I think they probably would have gotten it.
I think they could. That's fine, you know. And I think it's just like we talked about yesterday with the U.S. Open and how many golfers have come out to talk about the course and the greens. But what reverberated in my ears was the fan experience, you know.
Yeah, it was poor.
Being there in Washington, you know, people, who, as I've said, on Thursday, before we even hit the weekend, if I were to make a trip to go to U.S. Open, I want to be able to get that all access. I've paid to fly cross country. I want to be able to get out there, see the golfers. If I want to smack five, I don't want to have to be on like one of five strategic holes where you can get within 10 feet of a golfer.
Right.
Because every other place that you see, you know, beyond the ropes, you're right there. And the U.S. Open didn't allow it. So this is going to be a prime seat at Ohio Stadium that some people probably wish they could see for a Buckeye game, but they're going to sit there to watch, you know, their Cleveland Browns.
And as the Browns said in their press release, the Browns and the Ohio State Athletic Department have currently capped registration at 60,000 to help ensure an optimal fan experience. So that is the reason, and you talk about how important that is. The other bit of business, former Ohio State Buckeye, Terrell Pryor, the Browns claimed him off of waivers from Cincinnati. He is coming in to play wide receiver. He will not be playing quarterback for this team. Now, the connection, John DeFilippo was his quarterback's coach in Oakland, so they know him, but he's 6'4", 233. He runs a 4.4 40. You saw him catch a touchdown at Ohio State on a fade route. So he's going to have an opportunity to come compete for a roster spot at wide receiver to make room on the roster. The team waived defensive back Landon Feichter. So he is in. I like this. Why not? You need wide receivers. He's got the size. He has the speed. Can you teach him? You're going to have to be patient with him. Now, he won't have practice squad eligibility, so it is going to be a hugely uphill battle for him to make this team. But I like it. Why not? This is in the why not. We talked about it last week. Why not take a shot?
Absolutely. And I think, as Nathan, as we did our, you know, Browns Radio Network coverage, and you look at a guy like Brent Hundley, why not take that flyer? We talk about that flyer late in the draft. You know, this cost us, you know, essentially cutting a guy that most likely had a very slim chance of making the roster. And now you have a viable option of someone that you know is physically able to play the NFL game. And maybe in some cases puts a guy like Rodney Smith even on a bigger bubble. You know, this is that 6'5 jump ball, go get it type of body that might actually be faster than Rodney Smith. Bigger than all that, and the key factor that I talked about last week, why I wouldn't mind this at all, and this has nothing to do with the fact that he's an Ohio State Buckeye, because in some cases he got my coach fired. in Jim Tressel because of the the tattoo gate.
He sure did.
But if he makes this roster and is active for a football game, or you know, and that comes out the morning of game day. If he makes this roster as potentially that sixth wide receiver, the wrinkles that he adds to this offense is very huge because of his ability to throw the football, run with the football, and now as a receiver catch the football. I personally feel that he will run the football in situations, whether it's a bubble screen or you know with a double pass off of it. All those options are now in play where him catching the football, he might have, if he makes his team, 15 receptions because you're going to spread the wealth amongst the five top wide receivers on this. But the wrinkle that he adds is something that a defensive coordinator and defensive coaches have to spend a significant amount of time on. And John DeFilippo, in his time off with the addition of Terrell Pryor, is adding those wrinkles of how you could get a guy like this involved. And if he doesn't make the squad, you just squash everything. Yeah, you wasted a little bit of time, but you just wipe it out. You don't create that package for anybody else because you don't have a guy like Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, and it will be interesting to see how quickly he can pick up being a wide receiver and if he can do enough. It's almost like you wish he got him here for OTAs and mini camps to get all those reps at wide receiver, get the install.
Not even the reps, just the install. So he can come in and potentially get the reps.
So can he... Can he seek out, you know, in this period of this off time, can he seek out a Josh McCown and try to work with him or seek out a Connor Shaw or a Johnny Manziel and say, hey, let me just run routes with you. Let's go through the playbook together, et cetera. How do players do that at this time of year? You know, you've heard about quarterbacks having their passing camps that they have to keep everybody sharp before you get into training camp.
It does, but this is a unique situation. This is a pure bubble guy. This would take... For something like that to happen with either Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, or Josh McCown, it would take Coach Pettine and Coach, basically saying, Coach DeFilippo, I need you to call, you know, Terrell, and get on a conference call with Josh, Terrell, and John DeFilippo and say, this is real. This is a real scenario for us that's going to help us win football games, and we need you guys to spend a weekend together. And then the two players will then connect. Cross-reference schedules, Pryor will make a flight, but it's going to take the push of the coaches first to make it real. Because player to player, McCown's going to go, I'm doing my thing. I've got my 30 days to myself. The last thing I have to worry about is you. But when a coach says this is a viable asset for us that could come into play and pay big dividends, in the words of Joe Jurevicius, in our upcoming season, that's when it becomes reality.
Yeah, I think that's exactly why you take a shot on him. That's why you got him in here, and I applaud Ray Farmer for taking this flyer. There's no downside to this. There is only potential upside, so that's why I like it there. By the way, Marcus Mariota has been drawing rave reviews in Tennessee, and Dorial Green-Beckham said, the throws I see him make are ridiculous. You don't see most quarterbacks make the throws he's been making, and word out of Tennessee is that they are, so far, very pleased with him. Tampa Bay, they are also very pleased with Jameis Winston, saying that he is kind of a gym rat and just very, very, very mentally sound and very much a student of the game there. All right, we've got a couple other things to talk about. You know, you went to a concert last night. You saw Imagine Dragons, calling it one of the top five concerts you've ever been to.
Yes. Imagine Dragons last night put on an amazing show. They played, I believe, 17 songs for almost 2 hours.
Okay.
They were awesome. I'm an Imagine Dragons fan, like, on a small level, meaning I can sing the words of, like, their hit songs, which I think a lot of people can because they're used in sports references, opening and closing, you know, Super Bowls and so on and so forth, or promos. So very popular songs. Those were easy. But I was just blown away by the engagement by the band. Dan Reynolds, their lead singer, talked about being a Cavaliers fan for over 8 years. He goes, they're from Vegas, so they can't claim, you know, an NBA team or a pro team. But he's like, I'm a Cavs fan, you know, and he made it personal for the fans. His engagement was awesome. I know sometimes to the concerts you go to, especially when you get to, like, you know, the middle portion of their tour, they're just robots, just duplicating what they did last night and so on and so forth. But I thought they were in it, and it made the crowd get into it. And, I mean, at one point, he literally walked up the lower bowl and it was his song, the song On Top of the World, and he was literally standing in a loge, you know, grasping the top, you know, the club level with his feet on the, you know, the little, I don't know, three-foot wall.
Yeah, a little
wall. Is the loge, you know, area. And he's just singing On Top of the World, you know, with the spotlight on him. So All in all, great show. The lights and the music and the musicality. And as I told you, they do everything from like hardcore heavy metal to like these bluesy acoustic songs and everything in between. And I just thought overall I was blown away by how great they sound. They sound as good in concert as they do on an MP3 track.
And that's good. And they do have – it's one. They're one of those groups – that you go in and you're like, oh, I know that these are the hits.
Yep.
And then they play something like, oh, I didn't realize that.
I was Shazamming song after song. And Shazam's an app I have on my phone that, you know, whether it's TV, radio, you know, or at a concert, where you can play the app, it listens, and it tells you the song, the year it was made, the lyrics, the name of the song. And then, of course, there's a, like an iTunes, you know, link for you to download it if you want to. And I was Shazamming song after song. I'm like, I can get with this. I can get with this. I got to add this to my playlist.
Yeah.
And then friends of ours who invited us, Rachel and Mark, they got us a playlist, you know, of all 17 songs that they did, including the encore. But it was just all in all great performance. You know, their set was awesome. You know, it was just great. And
seeing a good concert is great.
It is.
You know, a lot of times you go to concerts, as you said. I remember I saw, oh goodness, what is their name? Anyway, somebody that I thought was going to be pretty good, and they did what you said. They went through the motions. They didn't really interact with the crowd.
Yeah.
They just played their music.
Like,
and it was like,
and you lose that.
I'd rather listen to the CD.
Yeah, exactly. And the greatest thing about it is, you know, and he made mention of it, you know, thank you. You have
Coldplay.
Coldplay. Coldplay should be a good concert.
Yeah.
But what's great, you know, hearing him walk to the other stage and go, you know, I know it's tough out there, and we appreciate you taking your time and spending your money to be here with us tonight. And that, to me, is something – you know, to be said, because so many artists, this is where they make a good portion of their money, because they, you know, they nickel and dime CDs and they make a little bit of money on iTunes. But concerts, and when you can sell out a concert, you know, city after city after city, this is when they make their big chunk of money.
Sure.
And they put on a great show. We again, prior to a Cavs game, we went to your spot, Barrio, which was good. We took our friends. We were going to do Red. But we didn't want to do the whole sit down and, you know, big heavy stakes.
Sure.
And, you know, so shout out to my guy Jake, you know, the area director over at Barrio. He hooked us up.
Barrio's got to – I mean, I think we got to get them involved with this.
We do, for sure. And it's just a matter of time. Now that I got his number, we'll be in contact. And they understand the outreach that we have.
Sure.
And that's something that we need to work behind the scenes. But it was all in all, tacos are great. Margaritas. It was happy hour, so we, you know, did a couple margaritas. So it was almost like buy one, get one free, sort of.
Glorious.
So it was awesome. Yeah, it was good. It was very good. The rain stopped, which is cool as well.
So the other story that is maybe my favorite of the day comes to us from UCLA, where P. Diddy was arrested. So what happened was, yesterday, Diddy's son, Justin Combs, who is on the UCLA team, he's a redshirt, was participating in an off-season workout. He was not giving great effort, and the team's strength and conditioning coach, Sal Alossi, and if that name sounds familiar to you, that's the guy who was on the Jets who tripped the player.
Yes.
Sal Alossi kicked him out of the session. Around noon, Diddy and his son came to Alossi's office where, according to witnesses, Diddy rattled off expletives at Alossi's. Alossi apparently put his hands up in a non-threatening way and instructed Combs and his father to get out of his office. Diddy then walked into Alossi's hand and told Alossi not to put his hands on him. Then it got real. Diddy attacked Alossi until interns and other personnel pulled off Diddy. The celebrity broke free again and at one point struck Alossi. The personnel were then successful in getting him out of the office and into the weight room, where Diddy picked up a kettlebell and swung it at one of the interns. The University Police Department watched video of the events and subsequently arrested Diddy. Oh, there's video, you say? Yes, there is. TMZ probably already has it. They've updated the charges to 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, 1 count of making terrorist threats, and 1 count of battery. This is felonious assault, by the way, for Diddy.
Those are felonies.
The bail has been set at $160,000 for Diddy. Now, you just, first of all, dads are not supposed to be getting involved in practice at the collegiate level.
And, oh, by the way, Snoop Dogg's son plays for UCLA as well.
Does, and has not had any such incidents.
Right.
So, to me, this is just a crazy story. The kid's never going to play at UCLA now.
Not
I
now.
I mean, his career is over at UCLA.
He'll have to take a different path to where he wants to go.
I mean, are you serious, Diddy? Are you serious?
I
swinging kettlebells at people?
But the most frustrating thing to me is that is not far-fetched for a strength and conditioning coach to kick someone out of a session who's giving a lackluster effort. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt. It's going to take you halfway through of your conditioning session or your workout session for you to basically prove to the coach that you're wasting his time and the time of his teammates around it. So it wasn't like the first 5 minutes, boom, you're gone, get out of here. No, this is 30 plus minutes of him, grab ass and whatever you want to call it through his way. So ultimately, it's outrageous.
Yes.
And what's really far-fetched to me is P. Diddy got a call from his son. His son told his side of the story. And then because P. Diddy probably is who he is and accepted his son's story, didn't have the level head that every other dad would have going into someone that you should respect, his coach, and essentially someone who controls his future to say, what happened? What was he doing?
Yeah.
And how can we figure this out and fix it?
You don't do that. Exactly. You don't do that. Diddy did it. Apparently, Diddy was at practice and saw it and didn't like the way that the guy was talking to his son. But you don't do that anyway. I don't care what you say. You don't go out there and you don't get involved. Our society is just crazy for so many reasons. This, by the way, being the least of them.
Right.
But it is just, it's just.
That to me is something that happens to like a second grader, you know?
And
where a dad speaks up and goes, oh, little Billy's getting, he's only gotten one rep to run the football, and little Jimmy is playing quarterback the whole game.
Right. And I think that Diddy is probably used to getting what he wants when he wants it, and his son didn't like it. So he's like, I'm going to bow up on this guy and threaten him and tell him, listen, I'm Diddy, and whatever I say goes, and Sal Losi was not having it. And I mean, he's picking up a kettlebell and swinging around. Gibbs, is this the quiz? Was that one of your favorite stories from yesterday?
The Diddy?
Mm-hmm.
The Diddy was interesting. It just continues to blow my mind what people think they're entitled to and what they think they deserve to get.
It really is amazing, right?
It is amazing. And I'm sorry, if I were UCLA's people, I would have things would have escalated quickly.
He's in jail.
Well, I might have been in jail.
You mean if you were like Sal Losi?
Yes.
Yeah, you've got to take.
Yeah. Who are you?
The greatest part of the story is that nothing you read was Sal Losi, who lives in probably one of the most violent environments, meaning when it comes to sports, getting players prepped and ready to be bigger, stronger, faster, and play violently in the game of football. And at no point was he striking back. It was all about separating and having to get the aggressor out of the room.
He's lucky he didn't come after. The Browns had a strength coach under Chud a couple of years ago who I think would have summarily
hit. What was that guy's name? He was enormous.
He was – the guy I'm talking about, Brad.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He was not that big, but he was feisty and angry. He used to try to get into it with our good boy Andy Hecht.
Little short man syndrome.
Yeah, they used to like.
No, but he was ripped, is what I'm saying. Like, you could tell the guy could handle himself, and that was one guy you didn't want to mess with because you weren't sure on the stability.
Right. And he probably had some of that old man strength. You don't want any old man strength.
No old man strength.
Yeah, no old man strength.
No, or like farmer strength or like hillbilly strength.
Yeah, all dangerous. Dude, nothing more dangerous scary than an old farmer.
That's right.
All right, we'll be back. 216-578-0850. Oh man, got it. Before we go though, nice tweet from our guy Adam Schwartz. He says it's all the strength and conditioning coach's fault. He shouldn't have pushed him because he's close to the edge.
Well played. He's trying not to lose his head.
Ha 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 ha. Good call, Adam Schwartz. All right, we'll be back to more. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 216-578-0850. Diddy done dirty.